In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Gospel of the Vespers, Shia, today is an introduction to the Gospel of the end of the world and the second coming of our Lord, and it is also a completion to the Gospel of Sunday morning tomorrow. So you will hear about this Gospel tomorrow. We were talking to the youth and Sunday school teachers in this convention or this seminar about some topics and introduction to the Bible and the parts of the Bible and classification of the books of the Bible and the evidence of the authenticity of the Bible, evidence of the inspiration of the Bible. The topic of tonight is about Christ in the Old Testament, the symbols and the types of Christ in the Old Testament. There is a complete science called typology. Typology is the subject or the science of studying the types to Christ in the Old Testament. These types or symbols are a kind of prophecies in the form of incidents and events had taken place in the past, but it was not just stories happened in the past and that's it, but it has a future meaning, a future prophecy and spiritual teaching about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and his work, his redemptive work and his salvation. There are types to Christ, there are types to Virgin Mary, types of the church, type to the Holy Spirit, and even to Satan. For instance, the serpent is a type of Satan. The dove is a type of the Holy Spirit. The Ark of Covenant, the censer, Jacob's ladder are types, the burning bush types for Saint Mary. So there are a lot of types in the Old Testament, but our topic is about Christ in the Old Testament. So we will focus on some of these types because it's a very big topic and there are books written about the types of Christ. And I think that you got this lecture, copies of it, and you have a lot of types here mentioned. We cannot cover all that, but I'll choose for you some samples of it, or else we may need one whole week to talk about it one by one. The Lord Jesus, after his resurrection, made a great Bible study in the road to Emmaus. And he talked to the two disciples of Emmaus. And we read in Luke 24 that he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself, in all scriptures. All the scriptures, from Genesis to Malachi. And when he went to the upper room, he added to his disciples and apostles and said, all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they may understand the scriptures. These types are divided into three major categories. Number one, individuals. Number two, objects. Number three, events. The individuals, St. Paul made a comparison between Adam and Christ as the second Adam, and said that in Adam all died, and in second Adam, in Christ, all have been saved and have life. Adam, the first Adam, from the earth dust, and the second Adam is from heaven, the Lord, and made a lot of comparisons. You can find them in details in Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Abel, for instance, was a symbol to Christ. Enoch, Noah, Melchizedek, Isaac, Joseph, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Boaz, Job, David, Solomon, Elijah, Elisha, and Jonah. Jonah, as you know, Jesus said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, so the Son of Man will be in the earth, in the grave, 3 days. So Jonah was a type, was a sign to Christ. We can, for instance, take just one of these types in individuals to Christ, and you can do the rest of the comparison yourself between others and between Christ. It's very interesting and enjoyable. I'll give you, for instance, the type of Joseph. The type of Joseph. Joseph was the beloved son of his father Jacob. Joseph was the man of dreams, and saw the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down to him. And Jesus Christ is the Lord of the sun, moon, and the stars. He holds the stars in his mighty hand, and everything will bow to him. Joseph had the colored tunic, and Jesus also, they gave him a scarlet tunic. Joseph's brothers hated him and envied him, and also Jesus was hated from those men around him without cause, without reason. Joseph's brother took his tunic and wanted to get rid of him. They threw him into the pit. They cast lot on his garments, and he was crucified, died, and was thrown into the pit, the grave. When Joseph's brother saw him, they mocked him, made fun of him. The dreamer is coming. Let's kill him and see what his dreams would do. And also in the parable of the evil of the vine vineyard, they plotted against Christ and said, he is the only heir, let us kill him and take the kingdom from him, take the vineyard from him. Joseph was sold as a slave to the Ishmaelites, and they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And Jesus was bought also, was sold also for 30 pieces of silver. The one who suggested selling Joseph among his brothers was Judah. And the one who suggested or sold Christ already among his 12 disciples was Judas. Do you think all these are coincidence? John was served in the house of Potiphar as a slave. And the 30 pieces of silver was the price of the slave. Joseph was exposed to the temptation of his master's wife, and he refused the temptation and overcame the temptation. He was a pure young man, and he gave a great lesson to the youth in all generations. How can I commit this great sin against God and sin against God? He rejected the temptation. He overcame the temptation. And Jesus was not only pure, but he was holy and perfect. Joseph was oppressed, and Jesus was oppressed. Joseph was thrown into the prison, and Jesus also was imprisoned among the trials all the night, the last night in his life on earth. Joseph was thrown in the prison and served in the prison, the butler and the chief of the bakers. And he interpreted their dreams. And Jesus was crucified among two sinners, two thieves, on the cross. Joseph interpreted the dreams of the two prisoners and said that the baker will be condemned to death and the butler will be acquitted and go again to the royal feasts. And the same, what happened to the two thieves around Christ on the cross. One of them blasphemed against him and went to hell, and the other believed and repented and said, "Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom," and went to paradise. "Today you will be with me in paradise." Joseph was bought and went to Egypt, and Christ fled to Egypt. Joseph returned to his fathers, and advised them to bury him when he dies at his father's land. And Jesus left Egypt also and returned to his homeland. Joseph saved Egypt and all the surrounding cities and countries from the famine. He interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and he kept preserving the food for the years of famine. And Pharaoh was fond of him and admired him a lot and said, "Since God has given you this great wisdom, so you will be the second after me, the prime minister of Egypt, or the vice president." And said to him, "Without you, no one can lift a hand or leg in the whole land of Egypt." And Jesus also was risen from the dead and said, "All authority had been given to me on heaven and on in heaven and on earth." When the famine was severe, everyone went to Pharaoh. Pharaoh told them, "Go to Joseph." And the same, we can't go to the Holy Father except through Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except but by me." Jesus is the bread of life. Pharaoh gave Joseph the hieroglyphic name Zifnat Paneh, Safnat Paneh, which means the savior of the world and the revealer of the mysteries, and the great savior of the world and the revealer of all the mysteries and secrets are the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph revealed himself to his brothers, and Christ revealed himself to his disciples. Joseph forgave his disciples and didn't take revenge against them. And Jesus also did the same and taught the whole world to be forgiving. Joseph welcomed his father and said, "The whole land of Egypt will be under your service." And Jesus does the same. He went to prepare a great place for us, and he said, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, or else I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and when I prepare the place, I'll come back to take you where I am, you will be also. So you can find almost about 40 points of comparison. I mentioned some of them, and if you make these parallels and comparison, you will find that Joseph was a typical symbol and type to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is just a sample, and you can do the same with Moses and with David and with Elisha and a lot of these personalities I mentioned earlier. The second category, Jesus Christ in the Old Testament is in objects. I have before me here about 30 types in objects to Christ. But don't panic, I will not talk to you about the 30. Tonight I'll choose 5 or 6 out of them. For instance, the tree of life stands for the Lord Jesus Christ, his word, his body and his blood. He said, "My body is food indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Whosoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day." Because when you eat the very body of Christ, you have the deposit of resurrection. As Jesus was risen from the dead and you became united with him, so you have part of Christ within you, and you became a part of Christ, and you will have the power and the strength of the resurrection. The tree of life. The tree of life was incarnated in the person of our Lord, and you can read John 6, the whole chapter about that. Also, from these objects, Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark was the only way for salvation. Salvation from condemnation and judgment. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The only Savior. No other name under heaven was given among men we can be saved except the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The symbol of the ark is a symbol to the baptism, our baptism. The same water which drowned the unbelievers had the ability to save those who believed, the 8 persons who believed and entered into the ark. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 Therefore, there is no condemnation on those who are in Jesus Christ. And notice the preposition here, in Christ, in the ark. It's not a matter of distance to be close to him or far from him. You may say, I attend the church meetings on a regular basis, from time to time I fast, I give donations, tithes. This is not what gives you the salvation, but the question is, are you in Christ and Christ in you? If you are in Christ, you are saved. If you are just close to him, this will not benefit you, but may be more judgment against you. The carpenters who built the ark with Noah and did not get into the ark, did not enter into the ark, perished and drowned, despite they did great things. If you built a church alone by your own money, and you are not in Christ, that will not help you. That's why we have to benefit from this comparison. If you are in Christ, Christ lives within you, in your heart. You are saved. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, new creation. All things have passed away, everything became new. You read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And again, in Christ. It's not a matter also of the amount of faith you have. Someone once said, the small mouse inside the ark of Noah had the same security and safety equal to the elephant inside the ark. Whoever comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. He will accept you immediately. So enter into the ark tonight. You will find in 1 Peter 3:18 the interpretation of St. Peter to the ark and the flood as a type of baptism. As a type of baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, 19, 20, and 21, he explained that. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, and that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. In the Spirit, by whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison at the time of writing the letter, who formerly were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So he talked about the Spirit who preached on the mouth of Noah, and they were saved through water. There is also anti-type which now saves us, namely baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the Ark of Noah and the flood was a symbol to Christ and symbol to the baptism. Who believes and is baptized will be saved. The third type here from the objects is Jacob's ladder, Selim Ya'ub. Jacob saw a ladder coming from heaven to earth, and the Lord on the top of the ladder, and the angels are descending and ascending on the ladder, and he heard the voice of the Lord talking to him from the top of the ladder. This ladder of Jacob is a symbol to the incarnation of our Lord, who came from heaven to earth to save us. It is a symbol also to Saint Mary, because she was the vessel and the means that carried Christ to us, the Savior. And the Lord doesn't need a ladder. The angels do not need a ladder, because they have wings and they can fly without a ladder. But this ladder was for me and you, was for every one of us, because this ladder, which came from heaven and reached earth, was for us, that we can ascend protected by the guard of the angels till we reach heaven. We read in Luke 16, when Lazarus died, that the angel carried his soul to the bones of Abraham. I am the way. No one can come to the Father but by me. The ladder of Jacob is a type of Christ's incarnation through Virgin Mary. Number four, the tree of Mara. The tree of Mara, from the objects of the Old Testament. You find it in Exodus chapter 15. Let me translate. When some of the believers pass away, the priest goes to his or her house and prays on some water with green plant. Because the church wants to explain this symbol and this type before the faithful, which we read in Exodus chapter 13, the last verses. In the third day, Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and overcame death. And in the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 15, from verse 22, we read, "So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, then they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah." Hebrew is close to Arabic, Mayamurra or Marah, from bitterness, Marara. "And the people murmured against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tasted them, and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you.' Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters." Of course, these numbers didn't come haphazardly or by accident. You know that the 12 sweet fountains are a symbol to the 12 apostles, and the 70 palm trees to the 70 disciples of Luke 10, whom quenched the thirst of the whole world and gave them the bread of life and the heavenly nutrition. So this is another type to Christ, the crucified one, and who was raised from the dead. The Passover lamb was another type in object. خروف الفصح, Exodus 12. And you know that St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:7 said that Christ, our Passover, was slain for us. And they had to kill him and to put the blood on the doorpost and to eat it broiled with fire. And one of his bones should not be broken. All these are symbols to what Jesus did for us on the cross and how he carried our judgment and condemnation of hell on his body in the cross. The brazen serpent, the bronze serpent in the book of Numbers chapter 21, when the children of God, of Israel murmured and said, we hated this manna, this stupid food, and murmured against God and show that they don't deserve the great miracles and great mercy God has shown to them, that he took care of them for 40 years. So God punished them by the fiery serpents, and thousands of the people were beaten and killed. Then when they cried to Moses and Moses cried to God, he showed him to make a bronze serpent, and whosoever is bited by a serpent and looked at the bronze serpent will be saved. The poison of the serpent will stop in him. And in this symbol, we see the salvation of Christ and another type of his cross. And Jesus himself interpreted it to Nicodemus in John 3:13, when he said, as Moses have lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man should be lifted on the cross, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It may need just a look from you to Christ crucified. It is said once that Gandhi, the Hindu leader, great peaceful leader, he loved Christ, but he was offended by the Christians. He stopped once before in a museum in Holland before a great painting of Christ hung on the cross, and stood more than one complete hour looking at the crucified Christ, weeping and crying with tears, because he saw this great love and great perfection in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I wish to be Christian. I love Christ and I love Christianity, but I'm sorry, I can't be Christian because I didn't see true Christians. The Christians do not follow their great Savior. This is our sin and our offense. We are stumbling block many times. It may cause you just a look to look at him, and you may be saved. Look at him. You will love him. You will fall in love with him if you know him, and you will follow him, and you will feel so happy to be one of his followers and one of his disciples. The stricken rock in the book of Exodus chapter 17. again they found themselves thirsty, there is no water, and God instructed Moses to strike the rock, and water came out of the rock. Jesus is our rock, the rock of ages. And striking Christ happened on the cross when they pierced his side with a spear, and a water and blood came out of him for our redemption and our salvation and our sanctification. Through his blood we are redeemed and saved, and through this water we were baptized and got sanctified through the work of the Holy Spirit in the water. Also we find another type in this regard in the book of Exodus chapter 33 verse 22. Exodus 33:22. When Moses insisted to see the glory of God and said, "Lord, show me your glory." And the Lord said to him, No man can see me and live. But Moses insisted. And he said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." But the cleft of the rock is the pierced side of Christ that shows the great love, his great love and his great sacrifice. But here the cleft of the rock stands for the pierced side of Christ, the only place we can see the glory of God and the glory of his love while we are still in the weakness of the flesh. رموز كتيرة خالص تقدروا تقروا 30 واحد في الأوبجكتس. خلينا نروح بقى للإيفنتس. قلنا there are types in individuals, types in objects, and types in events. في about 39 or 40 types in the events. For instance, Genesis 1:2. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and the earth was void and without form. And verse 2, and the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the deep. This is a type of the baptism, of the baptism of Christ from the water and Spirit. John 3:3 and 3:5. Unless man is born from the water and the Spirit, cannot enter into the kingdom of God. من الرموز دي كمان بسرعة كده أقمصة الجلد, the skin tunic by the fig leaves, fig tree leaves, but the leaves dried quickly and the wind carried them away, and he returned naked again. Then God covered him with a goat skin. That happened immediately after the fall in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21. From where God got this leather coat? He killed a goat, and the blood of the lamb or the goat was for redemption, and the skin was a symbol to the righteousness of Christ, which covers us. Another type in events in Exodus chapter 17 again, when Moses lifted up his hands, the type of the cross in prayer, and Joshua was fighting against Amalek. Whenever Moses raised his hands, Joshua prevailed. If Moses' hands were tired and he set them down, Amalek prevailed. So Aaron and Hur, who is most probably Miriam's husband, came and supported Moses' hands till sunset, till Joshua prevailed and won victory over Amalek. Amalek is a symbol of our second enemy, which is the flesh. The first enemy was Pharaoh, who stands for Satan. And the second enemy they met was Amalek, which stands for the flesh and the temptation of the flesh. And they prevailed over him through this method, the style of the cross, and through prayers. His Holiness Pope Shenouda used to use this example to prove that salvation should be with the grace of God and the human struggle. We have a human part here. Moses' hands, like the way of cross and prayer, stands for the grace of God, and Joshua's fighting is the human part, struggling against our enemies and using our means of grace, which is prayer, reading the word of God, attending spiritual meetings, confession, communion, fasting, serving God. All these are the means of grace and our fight against all this, our spiritual enemies. And through prayer and through the grace of God, we will win. In Leviticus chapter 14, you will find the sacrifice purification of the leper to bring two birds and kill one bird and dip the wings of the other bird in the blood of the slain bird and set it free to heaven. This is a symbol of Christ, the crucified and the risen from the dead through these two birds and the wood of the cross and the water of baptism. You will find similarity in this type also. And leprosy is sin, fatal disease. Also the fiery call of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, in his vision, chapter 6, in Isaiah 6, in the year of King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. He said, and one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts and the doors were shaken, and the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here it is clear that this also a symbol, this fiery coal which the seraphim picked from the altar stand for the body of Christ. The body of Christ. When it touches our lips, it sanctifies us and sanctifies our life. But when that happened, when Isaiah confessed first his sin and said, woe is me, because I'm undone. I have filthy lips and I live among a people. So, when we confess our sins, He forgives us our sins and we get ready to have communion. And remember, whenever you have communion, that this fiery coal that you tasted, the body of Christ and His blood, and this will sanctify your lips and your tongues, that you should not use any filthy language or filthy jokes, and to be holy and glorify God as the seraphim declared His holiness. And God put the first request in the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, the glorious and holy name we carry and we bear must be sanctified through our thoughts, our words, and our works. Let me take one more. We still have time or to close. Let's take another symbol from the life of Elisha. This story you find in 2 Kings chapter 6. The son of the prophet said to Elisha, see now, this place where we dwell is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there and let us make there a place where we may dwell. And he answered, go. Then one of them said, please, consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrow. And the man of God said, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. This also is a symbol and a type to the cross of Jesus. This iron axe head, which was borrowed, stands for the human soul. We borrowed it from God, and it will return to God, and will give account everyone for himself and for his soul. Through our negligence, we lose sometimes our souls and our spiritual life in the mire, in dirt, in the dust, and we have to go back to God again, to return through confession. He said, alas, master, it is a borrow. What shall I do? This is confession. And Elisha said, where did it fall? You can point out to the point of weakness that led you astray far from Christ. Remember, from where did you fall? And repent. Then he cut a piece of wood, a stick, threw it into the water and made the iron float. This is against the laws of nature. But this wood wasn't a regular wood. It was a symbol to the wood of the cross, in which Jesus descended into Hades to save us and to save the souls which waited for his salvation in hell. And when the iron float, this is against the gravity, the rules of nature. And in his cross, in the cross of Christ also, we can defy the laws of this world. It's not easy to forgive. It's not easy to give tithes. It's not easy to fast. It's not easy to sacrifice your life as a martyr for his life, for his love. But through Christ and through his cross, he will give you the strength to do that and to overcome the world. Be of good cheer. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And we will overcome this world through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of types, but I have to stop here, and we may have another chance to complete. Thank you, and glory be to God forever. Amen.